This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. House Speaker Hakeem Jeffries has been talking for hours against the budget bill President Trump has said he wants passed by the 4th of July.
This one big, ugly bill will hurt the quality of life of hardworking American taxpayers, and it's all designed to put a happy smile on the face of billionaires. That is inconsistent with the Declaration of Independence and what we should be celebrating on July 4th.
Republicans say the bill will return economic prosperity to America and cut waste and fraud. A vote is expected this morning. 18 people shot, 4 killed in a drive-by shooting in Chicago. It happened outside a nightclub. Police say a car pulled up. Those inside opened fire. Then the car sped away. The government releases new jobs numbers today. Hiring expected to have slowed last month. Unemployment expected to have risen to about 4.3%, according to most economists. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has struck down the state's 176-year-old abortion ban. The court's liberal majority ruled 4-3 that the ban is no longer valid because newer abortion restrictions superseded it. State lawmakers adopted the total ban in 1849. It was in effect until 1973 when the U.S. Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade decision legalizing abortion nullified it, and it was never repealed. Conservatives argued that the U.S. Supreme Court's 2022 decision overturning Roe reactivated the prohibition. Attorney General Josh Call sued, arguing that a 1985 state law that prohibits abortions after viability essentially repealed the ban. Madison police arrested a woman who allegedly attacked a person using an electric weapon. 18-year-old Jayla Stubbs is accused of pulling out that weapon early Sunday morning during a confrontation with the victim. Police got a report of the fight just before 2 a.m., and when officers arrived, the male victim said Stubbs pulled the weapon and sparked it several times before attacking him. Stubbs pleaded not guilty Tuesday to charges of possession of an electric weapon, battery, and disorderly conduct. The Riverdale School District was awarded the Outstanding Agricultural Education Program in the state of Wisconsin for 2025 at the Wisconsin Association of Agricultural Educators Banquet on June 25th. Programs were evaluated on key areas such as curriculum, experiential learning, leadership opportunities, partnerships, and more. Riverdale Ag teacher and FFA advisor Callie Coe said, quote, "I worked hard for this, but so have my family, my students, my administration, our district, and our community. Thank you for helping me provide opportunities for our students to become college, career, and life ready." I'm Joanne Krulotz.
The series finale. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers and the Mets square off for game 3 of their series tonight. The two teams stand at one game apiece. Yesterday, the Brewers won the first of a doubleheader, 7-2. The Mets went on to win the nightcap, 7-3. Milwaukee's Jacob Mizorowski giving up 5 runs in the second inning, including a grand slam. Things started to unravel after that. Manager Pat Murphy.
He'd have it for one pitch and didn't, and then you could just see the ball wasn't coming out of his fingers the same, and you could see the frustration building, and that's too good of a team and too good of a lineup. You know, this is the days you realize how good these guys are, all major league players. It's so tough to perform at the highest level and be consistent. When you're off a little bit, it can be the difference, and Miz just wasn't in sync.
So tonight it'll be Jose Quintana on the mound against New York's left-hander David Peterson. The Cubs beat the Guardians 5-4. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be a hot and humid couple of days. Today, sunny with a chance of an isolated thunderstorm late this afternoon and again tonight. Our high today, 88. Tonight, upper 60s. The 4th of July will be sunny, hot, and humid with a high of 91. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Why do we want to be proud to be an American? Why are we celebrating the United States?
Let's say that you're going to define America in political terms. I define it in terms of what the Founding Fathers did in 1776. And I ideal that we are still trying to fully live up to. That all men, all people, I would say, are created equal. All Americans are represented by the stars and stripes. I love the 4th of July.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Matt Nair on Air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we continue our discussion about funding childcare with Trisha Peterson. We talk sports in hour number two with Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. News from the Center, WRCE.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue. Good morning. It's 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Thursday morning, July 3rd, 2025. Parker Olson's down in Madison at Studio A2. And coming up this hour, we will review, of course, all the goings-on overnight, where the state budget was passed by the Senate, then passed by the Assembly early this morning, and then signed into law by Governor Evers at 1:30 this morning. Why the race? Because the federal budget that Donald Trump wants is going to do tremendous damage, or would have done more damage had the state budget not passed first. That federal budget, it hasn't passed the House yet, but overnight, all of the House Republicans who said they were going to stand up to the president all took a knee by the time all was said and done, and they all voted for a rule that allows it to come up for a final vote. That should be happening any time now in the House of Representatives, and then Donald Trump will get his 4th of July ceremony for a bill that is going to do generational harm to the country. But he gets the photo op, and will kick into place an immense transfer of wealth from the middle class to the upper class and rip away health care from tens of millions of Americans. So, mission accomplished. Along with the budget matters, we're also going to talk about the landmark ruling by the Wisconsin Supreme Court yesterday that invalidates the 1849 law that was purportedly an abortion ban, though I never believed it was based on the actual interpretation of it. But regardless, the ruling and reaction to it has provided to us an early window into the 2026 campaign for a Wisconsin Supreme Court seat, with challenger Chris Taylor saying that right-wing Justice Rebecca Bradley's dissent in the case was an unhinged political rant devoid of reasoned legal analysis. And that's putting it kindly, though it's par for the course for Justice Rebecca Bradley, whose term will be up next spring, and if she chooses to run for re-election, and it looks like she will, she'll be challenged by Dane County Judge or Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor. So we'll review some of what the justices had to say on both sides of this landmark case. And a little bit later on, Todd Alba will get us ready for this 4th of July weekend, find out what he's got going on for plans. And then, of course, next week he'll be up here in Chippewa Falls for the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. No Brittany Merlot this week. We'll hope to get her back next week to give us weather updates. Obviously, you can get updates throughout the course of the day on your local Civic Media station. From Rob and Tigerton, let's see it. There it is. Happy birthday, Pat. I hope you have an awesome day. It's sunny and 63 in Tigerton. We had 6/10 of an inch of rain with 1/4 inch hail. Wow. He says there was storm damage in the Pike Lake area, in the Hatley area, in southeastern Marathon County. Says he got his Wittenberg mowing jobs yesterday before the storms came in, and he's got 3 yards to mow today. He did mention that his grandma, Griepentrog, who passed away in 2010, shares this birthday with me. And in our discussion about Lasagna Awareness Month, he mentions that he loves crockpot lasagna, the best lasagna dish around. I don't know if I've... Barker, have you had crockpot lasagna?
I don't even know if I've heard of that, no.
Well...
I'm intrigued.
I've heard of it.
Now I'm aware of it.
It is... And again, I'm tooting my own horn here, but it was a happy accident. I just happened to have found a lasagna recipe. My lasagna is amazing, if I do say so myself. And I would love to take that skill and turn it into like a ragu, a short rib ragu at some point. I've tried that once or twice. Yeah. I haven't quite perfected that recipe yet. Apparently, there is an Italian chef somewhere inside of me dying to get out.
He's just workshopping it.
I'm workshopping it for retirement. From Michael and Tosa, happy birthday, Pat. I did not have lasagna last night, but it's cousin cavatini. Ooh, that's always nice, too. From Scott and Madison on the text line, just a thought, but probably the best way to get a single-payer program is to let the Republicans absolutely destroy our healthcare system. Maybe. I would not like us to go to that extreme to get there, but that too is on the comment line. And you can put your comments up on Facebook or YouTube as well. If you're listening on the radio and going, what do these guys look like? Well, if you want to scare the villagers that way, turn on your computer and you'll find us over on Facebook or YouTube, the Up North News Facebook and YouTube pages, or the Civic Media Facebook and YouTube pages, or on my own Facebook page, which is facebook.com/morningswithpatkreitlow. And you can put comments in there. Let's see. Yeah, I think that's all the comments I've got here that I want to put up. Let's tell you about the Brewers real quick before we get into some of the news, because the Brewers split a doubleheader yesterday, a day-night doubleheader. In the day game, they looked awesome. Beating the Mets 7-2. Joey Ortiz had a grand slam. Freddie Peralta did a fine job there on the mound in game one. And then, I mean, we all thought game two was kind of in the bag, right? Because Jacob Mizorowski was going to be pitching. And we know what his first three starts have been like, Parker. So, I mean, we all kind of counted our chickens on that one, didn't we?
A little bit. I had a little bit higher hopes for that game.
Yeah, but instead he served up back-to-back homers, the first of them a grand slam, and only lasted 3 2/3 innings, giving up 5 runs, 5 hits, and 3 walks in a 7-3 loss to the New York Mets. So, you know, this is a guy that started his career with 11 hitless innings over his first couple of starts.
I suppose he has have to flatten out a little, yeah.
Yes, I would hope so. And so anyway, it wasn't all him. There was like a really lucky infield hit that set the scene for the grand slam. And, Mizorowski again, who seems to be a little wiser than his age. Certainly his skills are above as well. I liked his quote afterwards. He said, "It's done. Use the old Tiger Woods approach and move on to the next hit. Move on to the next pitch. It is what it is. I got a loss, but oh well." It's frustrating, but at the same time, you know, a young career, it's good figuring it out. Not when we're in the playoffs, when it matters most. So I like that attitude.
Yeah, smart guy.
Yeah, exactly. So, and Alicia, you radio guys aren't ugly. Well, see, we got that going for us.
I guess. I was told I have a face for radio, though.
I know. It's something had to get us in here all this time. But so thanks to everybody for that. Now, the Brewers, meanwhile, they go on to play one more game against the Mets in Queens at Citi Field. I finally learned to say Citi Field and stop wanting to say Shea Stadium because, again, showing off my age. Brewers and Mets, the pregame coverage begins at 5:35 on stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. All right, we will come back to the state budget and it being passed and quickly signed into law a little later, as well as the federal budget plan of Donald Trump's that is coming up for a vote in the House of Representatives anytime now. But let's take a second to talk about the big news from yesterday out of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, where the court essentially, well, didn't essentially, they did. They just threw out that 1849 law that was purported to be an abortion ban. saying in essence that there have been so many other abortion-related laws since that time regulating the procedure that the original, that 1849 law, has been superseded, that there are plenty of statutes that criminalize abortions, you know, only after a fetus cannot survive outside the womb. This was not a surprise, okay? When the court flipped to progressive control with the election of Janet Protasiewicz, Janet Protasiewicz had made clear where she stood on women having the right to determine their own health care and their own bodies. This whole thing came up, of course, because 3 years ago, the so-called Dobbs decision allowed some extremist justices on the U.S. Supreme Court to repeal Roe v. Wade and the protections that had been there for nearly 50 years prior. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin Chief Strategy Officer Michelle Velasquez called the ruling a victory for patients and for basic human dignity, though she also expressed disappointment because the court also dismissed a second case. It was a Planned Parenthood lawsuit seeking a declaration that Wisconsinites have a constitutional right to an abortion. She said, at a time when politicians are doing everything in their power to strip away rights, Congress is voting literally right now to defund Planned Parenthood and block millions of people from the care we rely on. In one of the concurring opinions, Chief Justice Jill Karofsky shared the stories of four different women who lost their lives because they lived in states with abortion bans. And she included in that list her great-grandmother, who in 1929 tried to end a pregnancy and bled to death. She noted in Dobbs that in sending the impact back to the legislature, sending abortion back to the legislature in the Dobbs decision, Karofsky writes, the impact was cataclysmic. Among the sobering post-Dobbs statistics, I point to just one, Karofsky writes. During the two-year period after the Dobbs decision, in the 14 states with abortion restrictions, it has been estimated that rapists have caused 65,000 pregnancies. And because only five of those 14 abortion ban states have exceptions for pregnancies caused by rape, it has been further estimated that almost 59,000 of the individuals impregnated by rape could not receive abortion-related care in this state. She's simply affirming what we've been talking about for 3 years, that we've gone from what people consider to be abortion on demand, which was never the case, but to essentially impregnation on demand. If you want to rape somebody and get them pregnant, it's easier now than it ever has been because of politicians that want to control your bodies. Well, Justice Rebecca Bradley, who's up next year, had a lot to say about it. And in typical Rebecca Bradley fashion, it was personal with a lot of invectives and a lot of political language that was in there, personally directed at the progressive justices. And thankfully, somebody's now standing up to that, and that would be Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor, who released a statement saying that throughout her career as an attorney, legislator, and judge, I've been committed to ensuring that everyone has access to justice and our courts protect the fundamental rights of all Wisconsinites. Today's decision by a majority of justices correctly renders the 1849 law unenforceable, protecting an individual's right to make their most personal, private decisions about their bodies and their lives. In contrast to the majority opinion, Chris Taylor writes, Justice Rebecca Bradley's dissent constitutes an unhinged political rant devoid of reasoned legal analysis. Using politically charged language unsuited for any judge, let alone a Supreme Court justice, Justice Rebecca Bradley continues to be more concerned with forcing her own right-wing agenda onto the people of our state than protecting our most basic constitutional rights and freedoms. And if you happened to hear what sounded like applause at some point yesterday, it was probably me first reading this and applauding, because I have been watching or reading Rebecca Bradley's dissents over the past couple of years and her decisions over the past decade. And it is far past time that somebody finally stand up to them and call them out for the unhinged political rants that they are. A local update is next for some of you, and then we'll cover more of the day's news when we're all back together in about 15 minutes from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Henricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
The local Kiwanis Club in Richland Center, and we're going to talk to Steve Kolstad, Sheila Troxel, representing that organization. We had to look far and wide to find Joanne Krulatz, but she'll be here representing Partners for Prevention. And Jody Meaton is here, Richland Center Parks and Recreation Director as well. So we talk about some summer programs. But Steve, we'll start with you since you drew the short straw, I guess.
You know, it's probably a good thing that I drew the short straw. But the Kiwanis Club is having their July Pancake Supper. And it's going to be on the 9th of July, starting at 5 o'clock at night and going to 7. It's the normal pancake supper that we have, and it's really aimed at the backpack program. So as many of the listeners know, one of our key projects that the Kiwanis Club does is provide backpacks to needy kids in our community. Last year, we gave out over 200 backpacks. 70 different families were involved in that. But it takes a considerable amount of money to do that. And this is one of those key projects that raises money for our particular backpack program and really helps the community out. So it's an all-you-can-eat pancake supper. It starts at 5 o'clock in the evening, but generally speaking, the residents of the the participants at the community center, the group of people who just love to eat by 4:30, they come in early and just, you know, devour what we have. But it includes pancakes, sausage, applesauce, and hot cherries, as well as a beverage. And it's an all-you-can-eat thing. And we also look at the Goodwill offering for that as an opportunity to include everybody. You know, some people can't afford a certain amount of money, and all we ask is a goodwill offering of what you feel you can actually afford. And so the other side of that, it's the socialization that comes with it. Sitting down, having a meal, talking with other people who are friends. Maybe you're bringing your whole family in, and for a few bucks, set them down at the table, and they get to have a meal. But all the proceeds go back into the community to a program that supports the education, the families, and the youth in our particular community in a very, very special way. Backpacks for us generally cost about $45 for the materials and another $20 for the backpack, so someplace around $60. And so the program itself generally goes around $6,000 to $7,000 a year. And this particular program is one of the kickoffs to that. It also makes people aware that we like to have people sign up in advance so that we can have adequate supplies on hand when we pack those backpacks for kids in need and families in need, so that we have enough supplies. We've been very fortunate to have a lot of collaboration with some different vendors through the Kiwanis International program, where we get a tremendous discount in the cost of materials. But having it on hand, we do actually service some walk-ins, but we'd just like everybody to actually sign up and make it known that we really need this particular materials. And so we have a sign-up that comes in early August. So the first one is August 2nd. That's a Saturday. It's at the Richland Center Community Center. It's in their meeting room. It starts at 9 o'clock in the morning and goes to 11. The other one is a Wednesday night, which is August 6th, from 5 until 7, also at the Richland Center Community Center. And that sign-up is, again, for a couple hours. But that will be the basis for us making a large order of supplies and making sure we have things on hand for the backpack program. And if I didn't say, the Pancake Supper, which has traditionally been just a wonderful collaboration with Parks and Rec, because they let us use the community center. It's the same place we've had it for the last, ever since the community center opened up. So that's where we're actually having the Pancake Supper.
Is it income required to be eligible for a backpack?
No. We're a non-for-profit, and the motto of the Kiwanis Club is that we serve the kids and families in our community. So no, if you think I can't afford it, I just have had a bad year, or better yet, the expenses to provide materials for kids to go to school, to dress them up, to look nice, to make sure that all their needs before school starts are pretty expensive. If you just feel that you need this, all you have to do is sign up. We don't have any sign-up requirements. We'll take your name. We'll provide you with a sheet that indicates you've signed up for the program. And then when you come back, in late August. We haven't set the date yet because we're looking for the date the school opens, and we usually provide it that Monday before school starts is when we provide the backpacks. But long story is, as long as we have you and we know you have a need, we'll provide you with materials. Now, a lot of times school and teachers provide a long list of things that they want in their classroom. What we've done is we've narrowed it down to providing the basics. It won't be, everything may not be on the list your teacher provides, but a good share of it will be. And so you may have to go out and purchase a few items to cover the waterfront. But for the most part, the basics are covered by the backpack program.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, what do you fill the backpacks with? But typically pencils and
correct.
Pens.
But surprisingly, as you get into middle school and high school, it's scientific calculators. It's we even have some earbuds that go into it, you know, stuff like that. That, you know, when you and I were going to school, and of course I'm much, much older than you are, Phil, you know, it was probably, you know, some pencils and, you know, a couple of notebooks and that type of thing. And, you know, when I was going to college, we used computers that had paper tabs that we had to send through, and they were, the computers were, you know, 8 foot long and 4 foot high, and, you know, once in a while you got your information out right.
We've kept Sheila Troxell silent somehow for the first part. Okay.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henricks.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wisconsin is ranked second in the nation for having the most organic farms. Now, the Food Finance Institute is looking to help these organic growers with a new program called Naturally Wisconsin. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Thursday. The program essentially seeks to boost the market for organic products. Jamie Valenti Jordan is the Food Brand Program Manager with the Food Finance Institute. He tells us about the types of businesses or services that can work with Naturally Wisconsin.
Within our space, of course, we have brands. That's the most commonly recognized group. But it's not just emerging brands, not just established brands. It's also our supply chain up and downstream. So that's going to be inclusive of our agricultural sector, our agricultural supply, our ag tech, but also our ingredient suppliers that are going to process those materials, our packaging and equipment suppliers that are going to be a part of that as well, all the way through to our service providers, those that specialize in the food industry with respect to, you know, working on legal or marketing as well.
Jamie Valenti Jordan says you can learn more about Naturally Wisconsin by visiting the Food Finance Institute online. Stick around for more agribusiness news coming your way.
In my County Farm Bureau, I'm more than a member. I'm an advocate for local farms and families. Serving on the board has given me a chance to create real change in our community. From organizing volunteer opportunities to promoting agriculture at local events, we connect our neighbors to the farms that feed them. Together, we're building a stronger and well-informed community. Join us and make a difference today.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
All business owners want the same thing, to make their business succeed. At Rural Mutual, they help that happen. As the third largest writer of commercial business in Wisconsin, they take the time to learn your business so they can properly protect you. Call your local agent today or visit ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
In other agribusiness news on a Thursday, local food dollars are getting applause from food processors. In the tentative budget agreement between the governor and the Republican-led legislature, $10 million has been secured toward the Food Security Initiative grant program. This is through the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. The Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association says it's going to increase access to nutritious dairy products like milk and cheese, as well as meat, fruits, and vegetables from Wisconsin food processors during a time when food banks are seeing record demand. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be a hot and humid couple of days. Today, sunny with a chance of an isolated thunderstorm late this afternoon and again tonight. Our high today, 88. Tonight, upper 60s. The 4th of July will be sunny, hot, and humid with a high of 91. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Years ago, I had some, I think I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me, and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, like, you sure you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wore sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that, though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor, Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to, like, bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Dan Schaefer, political editor at Civic Media and founder of the Recombobulation Area, will be here to update us live on the latest of the state budget and another holiday edition of What's Worse. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome back to our Mornings on Lake Wasota, powered by Up North News here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Nice to have you along on this July 3rd, and thank everybody for the greetings along the way. And also a lot of comments, because there's a lot of news. There was the state Supreme Court decision yesterday throwing out the 1849 so-called abortion ban, so that's gone now. You have a federal budget that's going to do tremendous harm, and the House of Representatives will be voting on that shortly if it hasn't started by now. Then you had a state budget that was rushed to get passed ahead of the federal budget and the damage that it would have done to helping pay for health care in Wisconsin. But in rushing it through, it led to more no votes from people that said this is not right to be rushing this process when more needs to be done on the budget. In fact, I think this is all captured really well by Cassandra on YouTube. She writes, I have so many feelings about the state budget. I feel like it made some improvements, but at the same time, it didn't. I think it's better than not passing a budget at all. Tony puts on YouTube, let's be honest, this is powered by coffee and brought to you by Up North News. Fair point, Tony. But it's in the title. It's powered by Up North News and coffee. There's going to be a lot of time to outline the things that work in this bill. There are tax cuts amounting to $1.3 billion. There is the spending of hundreds of millions of dollars on overdue building projects throughout our university campuses. There is an expansion of Medicaid funding. There is a big increase in funding for special education. There is funding for new child care programs. There's also an expansion of the second lowest tax bracket to include more filers. It exempts some retirement income from taxation. It eliminates the residential utilities sales tax, and it creates a film tax credit of up to $5 million a year. But it will also cost more to get a driver's license and buy license plates and title a vehicle. And then there are all the ways that it could have been better and the things that were missing. And over the break, I was looking, and it feels like you get a press release from every legislator, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's very tough to pick and choose what to share here, as far as especially from the legislators who voted no. And a lot of it has to deal with education funding. Lauren putting up, the federal government is withholding education funding from schools. There are no real wins for schools right now. And that is definitely reflected in the press releases that came from many of the Democrats who voted no. For example, Assembly Assistant Democratic Leader Kaylin Haywood of Milwaukee said it is disgraceful that our state budget has been so negatively influenced by the recklessness of federal Republicans. The rushed process led to a budget that failed to put people first and neglect the needs of so many Wisconsinites.
He talked about the Democratic amendments that were put up that would have addressed some of these gaps, increased funding for K-12 and for mental health, expand Medicaid, provide real property tax relief, provide more resources for lead pipe remediation. Unfortunately, he writes, Republican leadership ignored these proposals. It was, again, lacking expanding postpartum Medicaid coverage. There is no paid family leave in there. There are no additional school aides. There's no funding for mentorship programs. And that's all in the press release from Kaylin Haywood here. Let's see. Let me grab a couple of others. We had Senator Dora Drake here, also from the Milwaukee area, saying that after months of chaos and years of ineffective governance, legislative Republicans have failed to secure votes in their own caucus, and they came to us in the midnight hour for a bailout at the expense of our state losing almost $1 billion in federal funds. And she again cites that there are definitely some good things in the budget, but it is the lack of general school funding for districts across Wisconsin that means that the carousel of referendums is just going to go on and on and on, which means that property taxes are going to keep going up as the legislature, controlled by Republicans, continues into a 16th year of underfunding schools compared to the rate of inflation. Now, on the other hand, and yes, I'm going to be playing this game because, again, there are things to like, there are things to hate. Tony's got some real perspective on this when he writes on YouTube. Take everything that was removed from the governor's original budget, and that's your platform for what you get with a Democratic majority in 2026. Everyone can sing from the same hymnal. He says, we got concessions with fairer maps. Now we'll get progress with a majority. This is the best possible deal for now. It was decided when the votes were counted last November. And again, it's not great. He's right, but it's not great. You know, Lauren counters on Facebook, the Common School Fund will have a decrease of over $2 million per year. And so I have to empathize with everybody who sees the good things in here, but who also knows so much more could have been done and that maybe a little more pressure could have been brought to bear on Republicans to put some of those things in the bill, but it had to be rushed because of the turkey in Washington, D.C. that is being, rushed through Congress instead. And when I say being rushed, I mean, again, heading to D.C. now, those House members, those House Republicans, I'll tell you, there were, as of 3 a.m. Eastern time, there were still five Republicans who had voted no on what was up for consideration last night. In fact, let me back up and explain that. There wasn't a vote on the bill last night, the Trump big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill. The vote was on a rule to advance the bill to a final vote. So it's a procedural vote, but it was a big deal. If enough Republicans, if more than three Republicans had voted for that, for the rule, it would not have advanced to a vote. It would have killed it without them having to vote no on the bill, but simply voting no on the rule of having a vote. And they were adamant. They were saying, we're sending this back. You know, we gave a bill to the Senate. It was a good bill. They ruined it. Now it's coming back to us and they want to jam it down our throats. We don't have to. The 4th of July thing is totally artificial. The way it's supposed to work, they said, is the House passes something, the Senate passes something. The House says, we'll take some of it. The Senate says, well, okay, we'll take some of that. And it may ping pong back and forth, four or five times before it's all said and done. And House Republicans were right to say, why should we just let the Senate jam us simply for an artificial deadline at the 4th of July? And so the vote was held open. The vote was supposed to be open for something like 30 minutes. It became 90 minutes. It became a couple of hours. It went into past midnight. And at 3 a.m., five of these Republicans who had voted no on the rule, four of them caved by 5 a.m. Eastern time. They had changed their votes to yes, and then the vote was taken, and Republicans supporting Trump had the votes necessary to advance the bill and send it to a final vote. And that's what's going to be taking place. But as of a couple of minutes ago, Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries of New York has been holding the floor now for at least 3 hours, speaking ahead of the vote. And again, he's not going to be able to stop the vote, but it is a way to call attention to all of the things that are in the bill that, you know, either Democrats don't like or that Republicans shouldn't like because of the increased debt. Again, $4 trillion added to the deficit. Congressman Seth Magaziner, Democrat of Rhode Island, said, "When we say the Republican Party has turned into a cult, this is what we mean. Our Republican colleagues are pushing a bill that would throw their constituents under the bus, a bill that flies in the face of everything they claim to stand for, all because Donald Trump wants a bill signing photo op by the 4th of July. It does more, by the way. The bill also supercharges ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement. And so you will see, if you think you're seeing secret police kidnappings now off our streets, wait until there are 10,000 new ICE agents and 100,000 new detention beds. Trump's border czar said, you think we're arresting people now? Wait till we get the funding. Which leads me to this point, by the way. Before they go hiring 10,000 new agents, and forgive the sexism here, but I'm going to assume that, you know, a big chunk of those are going to be men. And like I've said before, in this country, a whole lot of men are approaching a fork in the road when it comes to an embrace of authoritarianism and toxic masculinity versus a modern world which does not defer to men simply because they're men. And I just want to remind those men approaching that fork in the road of whether to be one of these secret police or to do something more useful to society, that if later on, when the tide finally turns and you say, I was just following orders, or I just needed a job, that's not going to cut it when this is all said and done. One more point about immigration from Trump. In a Fox News interview, Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers and people in hotels and hospitality, but especially about farmers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass to address farmers' concerns. He described the effort as something where, quote, people pay taxes and where the farmer can have a little control, as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. What does he mean by the farmer has a little control on whether there are like immigration raids on their property or not? Do you realize what he's describing? He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are even more under direct control of the land owners rather than the rule of law. Now, I'm not making farmers out to be the bad guys in these. I'm not saying that they want to be vassals in this medieval model of peasants and vassals, but Trump wouldn't mind it. That's Trump's world. That's what Trump wants. I mean, what's next? That farmers' children can avoid being sent to war in Iran if they send the children of the Mexicans working their land in their place? And if that sounds far-fetched, go look at your own family tree, because mine certainly has that. The Kreitlows came to this country because four brothers, four out of five, there was a youngest one who stayed behind, but four of the five were facing the prospect of conscription, because whoever it was that owned the land that the Kreitlows were farming on in Germany or the German-Polish border back in the day were facing the prospect of being sent into another one of the German Empire's wars. They didn't want to do that. And they, like a lot of other Germans, a lot of other Europeans, saw the prospect of a better life in America. And they came here, and kind of like the three little pigs, they all went their separate ways. And it's been fascinating to follow these four different brothers and where they all settled. One was a farmer, one was a mason, my direct great-great-great-grandfather. Others went into other fields, and it was all fascinating. But it was in part the result of this feudalism that Trump is exactly talking about when he says the farmer can have a little control over this. He wants the vassals. He wants the lords. He wants the peasants. It's what Donald Trump knows best. And there's no stopping it until next year. And you really ought to consider stopping it next year before you hear all the other campaign commercials that start running. More after this. You're up north.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I love a day on the water with friends, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis sometimes holds me back. Now I'm all in with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi. Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy.
Teaching music is my passion, but my active psoriatic arthritis can limit me at times. Now I'm treating my joint symptoms with Skyrizi.
With Skyrizi, most people with plaque psoriasis saw 90% clearer skin at 4 months.
Or if you are an adult with active psoriatic arthritis, Skyrizi helps you move with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
There's nothing like clearer skin.
There's nothing like better movement, and that means everything. Nothing is everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the recombobulation area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers. Through CPR education and access to AEDs, nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Hendricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
Welcome back to the morning show on WRCO. We're talking about many projects and many entities here on the morning show, tying it in with Kiwanis and the many things that that they have planned for this year and the event coming up on July 9th. So outgoing president Sheila Troxell from the Kiwanis Club is here. You're wearing a lot of hats because what you do kind of ties in with the other things we've talked about today, Sheila.
It does, Phil. For example, on the Partners for Prevention, it's made up of 12 sectors, and I represent the civic organizations. So this was just kind of a natural fit when we started talking about the Kiwanis Supper for the backpack program. And I think, too, Betsy Reisler was very much in favor and the organization of really giving back to the Parks Department for all their help and all the projects that they have helped them with. So we just got to thinking and, we went to the Parks Department and said, you know, if we open up the pool on the night of the pancake supper, would you be willing to work with us on that? And then we know that they needed money to try to be raised for the special needs equipment. And so that's when Partners decided to put up the $1,000 match. Also, I wanted to mention on the donation side of that, anyone that does give a donation, their name will go in for a drawing for a free family pass for 2026 to the Aquatic Center. So that will be another piece of it. So we really encourage people to come out and take advantage of this free swim. And then when you're good and hungry, walk right across the street and come in for a pancake supper. Again, that's all free will donations. And it really helps the youth with the backpack program. And in between all of that sign up for the backpack program, we have the National Night Out. Kiwanis were approached to open up their booth. And if anybody knows, this is the first time we've ever done that because it's being held at the fairgrounds. We have the best malts, the best cheese curds, pretty much best of a lot of things. And then there'll be other civic organizations there. So we're excited about that. And there's many people that approach. I don't know if even people sometimes realize that the Kiwanis, the Lions, any of those civic organizations, they're also approached for donations as well. And so if we can, the more that we can raise and give back, then we can give back to other organizations as well.
That'll be great at National Night Out because you'll get the stand all ready to go for the fair, which is about a month away then as well.
That's exactly right, because Steve said he was going to order a lot more supplies. And I think he was, even though Steve's kind of quiet, I think he was kind of excited about this swim meet because he said that will draw more people in to see what our pancake suppers are like. And if you've ever not been to a Kiwanis pancake supper, there's nothing like them. They're just best. The best.
You wonder how many pancakes they've served over the years.
Oh, it has to be. Well, it wouldn't be as much as Annette Lewis.
Well, but, true.
Because she's the real pro. But, it's just great. And I think, too, I would be amiss if I didn't really give a shout out to Lizzie Forehand and the Key Club. Lizzie has really gotten a lot of kids involved. They've helped us with a lot of projects. The Boy Scouts also are very good to donate their time. And let me tell you, when we're going to be doing the roadside cleanup and those young legs that can go down in the ditches so we don't have to, we're very appreciative of that.
Okay, and that's coming up, too. I suppose we'll be looking for them soon, right?
Yes, it'll be after. I think we're going to do it after the fair this year.
Oh, okay.
Because we had, like, the Hub City drag races, and then we were going to do it, and then we had the rodeo. And so we held off a little bit, and then we had it planned, and then, unfortunately, the weather didn't cooperate, so we had to postpone it again. So at this point, we'll probably do it after the fair.
Sure. July 9th, a busy night. We hope a lot of people will come out then.
We're hoping a lot of people come out. Like Steve said, a lot of people will start coming in at 4:30, and it's all you can eat. It's free will donation. Partners for Prevention will be there just handing out. If someone has some questions or would like some literature, they'll be there as well. So it's just a great collaboration to help the youth of our community, no matter the age or anything. We're just there to help.
Now, I introduced you as outgoing president, so then switches back to the old guard again.
And let me tell you, he's a hard act to follow. And Steve has been so great in just guiding me in so many areas because this was, I belong to a lot of boards and things, but I have not been president. And it's kind of stressful, but, you know, he's just very calm and keeps me on the no anxiousness. Like, did I book something or should I book something? So, but yeah, just a great mentor.
Mm-hmm. And that when does that transition take place? Steve takes over then again as president?
I believe it's in August is when it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So we just had elections, and we're always looking for people to join. I think all civic organizations are. They each give back in a special way. And so if you're thinking about joining some, you know, you don't have to always, you know, attend the meetings. We understand that with work and things like that. But if you can just come and help out, we have some great volunteers that have just show up to work the fair, because the fair is 4 days long, and you know it's warm in there, and you know, but it just goes so much faster, and just the friendships you make from it. But I just love how the civic organizations all work together. They're all there to support each other. We try to each have our own specialties, but then like if somebody comes to the window and says, hey, you know, I want a cheeseburger, okay, go right over there, you know, that's where they're serving it. Or piece of pie from the Lions, you know, or the 4-H clubs, you know, everybody is just there to do the best for our community that we can.
Always want to get some young people involved if you can, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't think I can ask the football team anymore to do anything.
You got an in there. I know that.
Well, sometimes I think other people will just say, maybe you call him and then he'll do it for you.
Okay. Steve Kohlstedt and Sheila Troxell representing the Kiwanis Club, Joanne Krulatz representing Partners for Prevention, and Jody Meaton, director from Richland Center Parks and Recreation.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henry.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The House of Representatives getting ready to vote soon on President Trump's big budget bill, which House Speaker Mike Johnson says was pushed forward by personal phone calls from the president himself.
I think it was very helpful. I'm really appreciative of his leadership.
Well, Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries has been talking since before 5 a.m. this morning, trying to stall the vote.
Because that debate was so limited, I feel the obligation, Mr. Speaker, to stand on this House floor and take my sweet time to tell the stories of the American people.
The bill is expected to pass this morning after Jeffrey stops talking. 4 people have died from gunshot wounds, 14 others hospitalized following a drive-by shooting in Chicago outside a nightclub. New unemployment numbers coming out this morning. Economists expect a possible hiring slowdown. This